And so I've enjoyed being here. My wife and I enjoy it very much being here and fellowshipping and worshiping with you. Since I have retired from pastoral role, one of the things that I mind is not preaching. Now, I do get quite a few chances to do that, and I actually never felt like I retired. I retired only from pastoral role, and my ministry goes on. And so we enjoy ministry, and I always enjoyed going to different churches, different denominations, different churches. And so I always enjoyed it. So I enjoy it today, and it's great to be here among you. And we praise the Lord for the good spirit that he has given us as we have been worshiping him in song today. And we just covet your prayers as we look into the Word of God today. Without him we can do nothing, and with him all things are possible. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Praise God, we can always depend upon him. The message that I have today, actually I was preaching along this line some time ago at an inner church somewhere. Anyway, but I felt to go on this line again this morning. And my title is God's Gift of Peace. And I have a second title, I guess I'll call it Four Kinds of Peace That God Wants Us All to Know. That's a longer title. But I would like to read some scripture this morning from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and just a few verses from verse 25 to 27. Verse 25 to 27, and one of those verses will be my text. And here we go. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Excuse me. I'll say that again. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, which I have said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. That is the theme of my message this morning. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. In other words, it's not the kind of a peace that the world offers. Do I give to you? Let not your heart be troubled. So the peace that God wants to give us will take away the troubled spirit from our hearts. And so I want to just ask God's blessing on his word. Maybe you could pray with me and for me at that time. Thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word today. We thank you for everyone who is here this morning. We believe that you have us here because you want us to be here. It is not by accident that we are here, but by divine design. So, Father, we believe that you have something for us every time we come into the Word. We believe you have something for us. So we pray that your grace and blessing will be poured out upon us today. As we look into your Word, we pray that you would defeat any hindering spirit of the devil, of the enemy, of our souls, that would try to rob us of blessing and rob us of peace. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would defeat that in the name of Jesus. And your grace shall cover us today, and we praise you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. It is God's will and God's provision for every Christian to have peace with God. In fact, it is God's will for every human being on the earth to have this peace of God. Amen? This is God's design for human beings. It is not God's will for us to live in constant conflict and lack of peace. God is a God of peace. And so God has four kinds of peace that he wants us to know. After a little bit, we will get to those four different kinds of peace. The song said, "Oh, the peace the Savior gives, peace I never knew before." What's the rest of the words? "And my way has brighter grown since I've learned to trust him more." Sometimes we have a peace, but we need more peace, and we need to learn to trust him more to get that all of that peace that God has for us. Now, the world knows the quest of every human heart for peace. And they offer us peace in their lying advertisements on TV and everywhere else. If you just buy this car, you will have peace. If you just do this insurance, you'll have peace of mind. And the world offers us peace by this and that and many other things. The only problem is when we suckers go for those things, we find out not that some of these things aren't good, but we find out that it really didn't help our peace that much, amen? Because it takes a lot more than worldly things to look after our peace. This world, as you know, knows little about peace. We are living in a day when our world is in great turmoil, more so in many ways than ever before. Wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus has promised, we are seeing. We are seeing peace efforts and agreements that are not kept. We all know with the Middle East and Israel how many peace conferences they've had over the years. And perhaps it's these peace conferences that has put a Band-Aid on the great problems there that is made a little more time for us to win more souls for Christ, because there's coming a time when it's going to end, all the peace efforts will fail, and then there will be an Antichrist who will come to offer peace his way. But we know all about that. So we're living in a world where there lacks great peace. The rapid rise of terrorism and suicide bombers, satanic forces of false religions are infiltrating every part of our society and world, and much in Canada. The economic crisis of our world is worldwide. The natural disasters of our world are increasing to a great extent. And crime and corruption we see in every segment of society. Athlete heroes that our children and young people look to and heroize. Then we hear on the news they're doping and they're cheating and they're lying. And in many segments of society, in the police department and all the departments and segments we see, government included, we see pollution, corruption, lying. There isn't much peace in this world, amen. And we know why there isn't much peace, because, well, we can blame Adam, but we are Adam, you see. Adam brought sin into the world. We all know that simple story. We don't have to spend much time there. But before sin entered the world, there was a great peace that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine the way it was in that garden? And one day when we get to heaven, we will understand what they experienced before sin came into the world. They experienced a peace that we do not know today, a peace in our world, that is, in society. Can you imagine them walking with God. God came and walked with them in that beautiful garden, and they had everything they needed. There were no enemies. There was no conflict, no wars, no weeds, no taxes, no rent, no sickness, no conflicts, no goodbyes, and we could go on and on, no pain. This is what they enjoyed, that kind of a peace. But we know that sin entered the world. And we are in Adam because we were born in sin. When we were born, I know we all looked like little angels, but we were not little angels. And you don't have to have them live too long until you find the other side of that angelic thing, don't you? If you have any kids, we have four kids, we know all about that other side. But anyway, there's something within us that we were born with. We had a sinful nature. And so that sin has caused all the conflict and misery in our world. And that's simple to us who have been going to church. God's love reached out to Adam and Eve and to mankind, even though they sinned against God. And God said, when you sin, the day you shall die. And they did die. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And they began to die physically. That all came through sin. But you know, the love of God is beyond what any of us could imagine. We just can't imagine the greatness of God's love. And that love reached out to those undeserving, sinful people. And you know how God created a sacrificial system. And he said that there must be a bloodshed, there must be death because of sin. But because of his love, he reached out to mankind and he said, well, okay, there has to be a death, so we're going to institute a sacrificial system. The animal will die in your stead, a substitutionary system. Well, in that way, they somehow could have some kind of a peace with God. But you know the story of the Old Testament. In spite of God's love to them, in spite of all that God did for them, the miracles he provided, Israel, his chosen race, sinned desperately against God. Amen. They sinned against God, even though they knew that he performed great miracles for them. That sinful nature just burst out and came against the Lord. But you know what? God still loved them, and he reached out to them. And about 700 years before the Savior was born, Isaiah the prophet prophesied and said that there would be a Savior. God would send a Savior into the world, and his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so Jesus reached out, God reached out through Jesus because of his love to us again. And the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You see, God wants us to enjoy peace. Satan is a peace robber. He causes conflict. He likes to have conflict and division among Christians, even, who know the Lord. If you happen to have noticed over the years, Satan loves to get in and divide. Amen. He will do anything to divide the body of Christ so that the body of Christ cannot fulfill that which God intended for them to fulfill, or that you or I as an individual Christian cannot enjoy the peace and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Satan is a peace robber. God's will is to resolve the conflict. It is not God's will to have constant conflict in your own life, with your wife, with your family, with your business. It is not God's will. It is God's will to have peace. Amen. And so God wants us to do so. He wants us to resolve, but not go on in conflict, but to resolve those conflicts with the Lord's help. I like the definition of insanity that someone has humorously said, but there's a lot of truth in it, and you know the definition of insanity, don't you? It's doing the same thing and expecting different results, you see. If you have a problem in your home, family, or wherever, and you, well, I hope it'll change, you just keep doing the same things, going around circle, you're not going to have any change. The definition of insanity is doing the same things and expecting different results, and that doesn't happen. So God wants us to resolve the conflict so we can enjoy His peace, His full peace in our lives. Now, the Hebrew word for peace is, you know it, don't you? What is it? Shalom. Shalom. I looked up that word, and it's a Hebrew word, and it means peace, it means wholeness, it means harmony. It means wellness. It means health of soul. It means serenity, tranquility, and prosperity. That is, prosperity that meets your needs. I'm not talking about $1 million that God expects us all to have. I don't believe that. But He wants us to have our needs met. He wants us to prosper, to have all of our needs met. Amen? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or ever think. Praise His name. I like those amens. Praise God. Keep them coming. That is, if you mean it. Amen. Praise God. But if you don't say amen, I will. So anyway, Jesus paid for our peace on the cross. And this morning, I would like to talk about four kinds of peace that God wants us to have and that God has declared in His Word that is ours in Christ. First of all, of course, is the simple one. It's in Romans 5 and verse 1. And the title of the first one is Peace with God. I think our tech man has this up. I give it to him late, but there you go. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I want you to notice one word especially, with. Okay? The first peace is peace with God. And through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. It tells us the results of sin or the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Romans 6:23. And we also know that the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Adam, sin and death came to our world. Romans 5:12. Through Christ, that is, Christ is the second Adam, by the way. You've heard of Christ called the second Adam, haven't you? The reason He's called the second Adam is because the first Adam that God created to be holy and live a righteous life failed God. God gave him a free moral agency of choice. But the second Adam, and the first Adam brought death. The second Adam, Christ, brought life. That's the difference, you see, the first and second Adam. And so the second Adam brought life. And Romans 8:1 tells us there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so God has given us this peace with God. Probably everybody here has that peace with God. The word is with God. Now the word with there, peace with God, therefore being justified by faith, justified, just as if we'd never sinned. This is a legal term. That is, it's a transaction. Because of the blood of Jesus and our faith in the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven and we have peace with God. And our name is written in heaven and we have peace with God. Now, you may not feel like you have peace. You may feel sometimes lower than a snake's belly, but if you've accepted Christ and you haven't rebuked Christ, you have peace with God, amen, no matter how you feel. It's a legal term, okay? If this lady says to her husband, "I'd like to have that house," oh, she always wanted that house. She just couldn't believe she'd ever have it. But her husband bought it and went to the lawyer and got the papers and documented it. There it is. Their names are on it. She said, "I can't believe it's our house. I just can't believe it. I just don't feel like it is." It doesn't matter how she feels, the document is there that says she owns it. Amen. And we need to remember that, don't we? Some days when we get out on the wrong side of the bed, amen? We need to remember we have this peace with God. Now, we all know about that one. Now, the second peace we find in Philippians 4 and 7. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise. Now, this is not the peace with God, but this is a peace of God. You see? It's a different word, of God. We can have peace with God, but not always enjoy the peace of God. Are you with me? But God wants us to have the peace of God, as well as the peace with God. And so let's look at that just a few moments. The peace of God, which passes all, that is, all human understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is, God wants us to have peace in all the circumstances of our life that we cannot control. We would like to control a lot of things in our life. We'd like to control everything in our life, especially those who are controllers. There's a book that is written, Controllers and Those Who Let Them. Some wives should read that. Some husband should read that. That's true. Controllers and those who have let them. Well, we'll let that one go. That's another sermon. But anyway, just threw that in, no charge. We'd like to control I'd like to control some of the circumstances in my life. My wife and I would like to control some of the circumstances in our life. We have a cat downstairs. Well, it isn't our cat. It's got a beautiful name, Chanel. Oh. I'd like to call it something else. It sure wouldn't be that nice. It belongs to our granddaughter in our vacant apartment, and she's gone. But we found out that crazy cat had fleas. Oh, we have been suffering. Anyone else ever had the experience? Let me see your hand. Nobody? Oh, would I like to control that situation? I will say that I think at this point we have it about 90%. But you know, I'd like to control it quicker than that. But we can't control everything in our lives. There's a lot of other things in your life you'd like to control. A lot of things. But we can't. And the devil would like to throw us around and pounce on us and take away our peace because of those situations that we cannot control. But it is God's will for us to have the peace of God. Amen. No matter what circumstance we come into. And so God wants us to have that peace of God, not just with God. You'll remember the Apostle Paul had quite a problem. Well, it's called a thorn in the flesh. When I get to heaven, I like to ask him what it was, because there's been so many speculations. None of us know. Perhaps it's a good thing, because then we can apply that to whatever thing we can't control. Amen. Well, he went through some frustrations, I'm sure. But then God gave him a victory over that. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. And Paul received that peace of God so strongly that he said, "Much rather, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities," whatever it was, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Amen. And so God always answers prayer. It isn't always the way we want it. But what Paul had to do was accept what God had told him. Amen. And that is when we will have our peace, is when we accept what God allows and we can't control. We accept it as from God. And if he wants to change it, he will. But until then, we don't have to go without peace, because his grace is sufficient for us. Amen. We just need to appropriate that grace. We need to submit to God and claim that grace and allow the Holy Spirit to flood that grace over our souls. Amen. How do we have this peace? Well, Philippians 4 and 7 talks about the peace there. Now, I'm going to talk about the verse before that, because the verse before that is one of my favorite verses. These verses are, because the devil tries to frustrate my peace lots of times, but the Bible tells us, "Be anxious for nothing." That's Philippians 4, 6. "Be anxious for nothing." The King James says, "Be careful for nothing," or "full of care for nothing." It really means to be over-anxious about nothing. We all have anxiousness. If I see my child running toward the road and a car is coming, do you think I'm not going to be anxious? We are human. What it really means is to be over-anxious to the point that it affects our peace. Comprenez-vous? You're supposed to say "we." Okay. So God wants us to receive his grace. And it tells us how to do that in verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything," everything, three things, "by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving." By prayer, real prayer, supplication, asking for specific, and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, Paul always get that in there, because he wants us to focus on how great God is, you see. "Let your requests be made known to God." Tell God everything. Tell him everything you need. Tell him all about your troubles. Everything. Little troubles, big troubles. No matter what it is. Things you'd rather not tell somebody else, you can tell God. Amen. And if you're sincere and you have faith, the peace of God which passes all understanding, all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. We have a lot of trouble up here. And your minds. Sometimes we think too much. We think ourselves into trouble. And your minds, he will guard and keep them. Praise God. I'm glad for this kind of peace, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Now, there's a third kind of peace. I hope your pastor goes over 12 once in a while, because I think I may. Did your pastor ever go over 12? Let's see your hands. Oh, I guess I'm all right. Okay. The third kind of peace is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And this is what it says. I'll read it in the King James up there. "And the very God of peace," notice the word peace, "the God of peace," he's a God of peace, "sanctify you wholly," which means completely. "And I pray that God, your whole spirit, soul, and body." I want you to notice those three things, spirit, soul, and body. Because the title of this section is "Peace Within Ourselves." Okay? First it was peace with God, the legal transaction. And then it was the peace of God because of the circumstances all around us. Now it's the peace within ourself that God wants. See, God wants us to have all four kinds of peace that we're going to talk about this morning. God has paid for it all, and he has it for us. So he wants us to be at peace within our own soul, within our own being, within our total self. Now, for the Apostle Paul to talk about what is our total self, he used three words. He used the words spirit, soul, and body. And he wants us to be those three elements of our being to be in harmony, okay? In harmony. Those must be in harmony for us to have peace within ourselves. Are you with me? And so he used the term spirit, soul, and body. Now, I don't know whether you're a trichotomist or a dichotomist, but a trichotomist says that we're made of three different elements. A trichotomist says two. But Paul must have believed at least in a functional trichotomy because he used spirit, soul, and body. Tri means three, right? So somehow or other, we are made up of three elements here. And God, the God of peace, wants all those to be in harmony, you see? And peace, so that we will have peace complete within ourselves. Sometimes I won't take the time, but sometimes I take an instrument to illustrate this, because you guitarists know that when a string or two is off, it sounds awful, right? Awful. It has to be right in tune, and then you strum it, and there's a beautiful, harmonious sound that comes out, right? Those who don't have an ear for music, perhaps you think it's all harmonious, but those of us who have a little ear for music, we know, don't we? We know. But it's off, and so it sounds awful, but we want it to sound good, so we get the right tension on every string so that all the parts are working together and they come out with a harmonious sound. So it is in our lives. We have our spirit, soul, and body. Maybe they're called three strings, and God wants them tuned up. Everyone in harmony so that they are harmonious together, and then we have the peace within ourselves. Okay? Let's go on just a speck further here. May the very God of peace himself sanctify you completely, cleanse you completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless. We are supposed to be blameless before God. Amen. You say, well, I'm human, I can't be blameless. Well, Paul prayed that they would be blameless, and I expect if the Bible says blameless, it's what it means. Amen? And so we can't be blameless if we have willful sin in our lives. Amen? I know one fellow didn't like this whole idea of holiness and cleansing, and he said, well, maybe that means, it says here, preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe when he comes back, then we will be blameless. I think that is not a right interpretation, and I'll tell you why. Do you notice the term preserved? Preserved. That your spirit, soul, and body may be preserved. Now, my wife's been doing some preserving lately. You should see the size of our beets. Oh, they're big. Anyway, she's been preserving, making beet pickles and that stuff. She's preserving. That means that they're going to be that way. They're going to be in the bottle for quite a while. So you see, we're supposed to be preserved blameless, the Bible says. So that doesn't sound like preserved means just at the end. We're supposed to live holy lives, aren't we? Be holy, for I am holy. He wants us to be cleansed and in harmony within, so we enjoy that marvelous peace without any known sin. Are you with me? Now, I don't call mistakes sins. I know we're human. We all have our failures. I'm not talking about the broad definition, which is more of a Calvinistic definition of sin, anything short of the absolute perfection of God. Well, if that's the case, we're all sinners, aren't we? But there's a type of sin in the New Testament. The definition of sin, primarily in the New Testament, is a willful transaction against God. Are you coming? Are you with me? It's a willful thing. It is the willful, intentional, willful sin that God is able to give us power over. Amen. Do you believe that? If we don't believe that, we would have to say his power is not adequate. But my friends, the power of the Holy Spirit is able to burn and cleanse and deliver and take away the bent to sinning so that we can live holy lives. Amen. And this is what God wants for us. This is what God wants for us. Harmony within ourselves. I looked up the word sanctify in the Dictionary Britannica. It said to make holy, to purify from sin, to set apart, to make for holy purposes, to consecrate, to experience sanctification, to produce holy character. This is the secular dictionary definition of the word sanctify. It's more than consecrate. It means that God does something. He cleanses in our hearts. I will illustrate it this way about that trichotomy. Within our spirit, we know that it's wrong to steal, lie, commit adultery. We know it's wrong. Our spirit, our conscience, our spirit tells us that. But let's say someone was without their partner a while and they were tempted to sexual sin. Now, their spirit and conscience tells them it's wrong, but their will, they gave in to temptation, so their will and their body committed the sin. All right? Is there harmony within? No, because their spirit says one thing and they do another, and you cannot have harmony, you have conflict. Amen? And so it's that kind of inner peace that God wants every Christian to enjoy. Amen? And he has the power to do it. Blessed is he who calleth you, who also will do it. You remember the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. God struck him down. He thought he was a great man, he was in the Jewish realm, he was great. And you remember that when Stephen, the great marvelous martyr, was stoned to death, that the Apostle Paul was there holding the coats, agreeing. I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, touched his conscience at that time and was trying to get through to him that he was on the wrong path. But he kept fighting against it. Fighting against it. Something within the carnal heart that fights against the truth. But God struck him down and blinded him. And Jesus said, Paul, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then Jesus said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. Do you remember that in Scripture? Now, what that's talking about is in the olden days, to get the ox to go a little faster, they had this stick with a nail in the front of it, and when they wanted to go a little faster, they would poke it to get it to go, right? And every time they poked it, it would fight back, and it would get hurt worse because they were pushing back into the nail, you see. And that's the way it was with Paul. He was trying to fight off what God was trying to say, so he was not at peace in himself. But you know how God took care of that, and Paul became a great saint of God. And so God wants us to have this peace within ourselves by surrendering everything to God, our self-will to God. Total, absolute surrender and faith is the way to this total inner harmony. I'm not saying the devil doesn't come at us sometimes and try to cause us problems, frustrations. I'm saying that basically there is a harmony that God can give us when we submit to him. Now there's a fourth kind, and then we'll go to dinner. A fourth kind of peace. Would you like for me to mention it or have it next time I come? Okay, we'll go for it. The fourth kind of peace is found in Romans 12 and 18. Here is what it says. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men or women. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all people. So the fourth kind of peace we're talking about is peace with others. Now this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is the challenge. This will test our sanctification. This will test our holiness. This will test the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But this is what God has called us to. And I expect this is one of the most difficult challenges that some of us have, really. We are human. We are human. We have human feelings. We can get hurt. That's okay to be hurt, because we can get hurt, and that's okay. What isn't okay is when we don't deal with the hurt the proper way, and when we allow that hurt to fester and become bitter and resentful towards somebody else. That's when it's wrong. Peace with others is God's will for our lives. And you know what? We can't do it by ourselves. We really need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that one. Amen? We need it. And so, let's look at that. John, 1 John 2 and 9 says, excuse me, I want to go first to Romans 12, 14. Romans 12, 14 says, the King James says, follow after, and my New King James says, pursue. Pursue. Pursue peace with all men. Do you remember that? The whole verse is this. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you remember that verse? It says follow. I want you to notice that word follow. Follow peace with all men. What is this telling us? It tells us that God wants us to have peace with others, and not to resent them, and not to hate them. The word hate means to hate means unjustifiable feelings toward another. Hate means resentment toward another. It says follow peace with, it's God's will for us to follow peace with all people, right? As much as it is in us. Now, if you do your part and the other one doesn't do their part, you can't help that. It's not your fault. Don't keep trying to scratch something you can't help. Amen. Pray for them. But as much as it lies in us, we're supposed to have peace with them. We're supposed to have a right attitude. We're supposed to have love for them who despitefully use us. This is God's will. And this is where the devil gets in many a church and many a heart. But we must keep the devil out so we can go and grow and have peace and victory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. 1 John 2 and 9 says, before I leave that, follow peace with all men and holiness. I must give you a little etymological study on this. Now, the word follow applies to peace and it applies to holiness, right? You say, well, I don't really feel I'm really holy. I'm doing my best. I'm obeying God. I don't think I've got there yet. Well, you're still going to go to heaven because of the word follow. You see? Follow. We are to pursue peace with all men. Do your best. It may not be there yet, but you pursue it. And you see, the word follow means to pursue peace and pursue holiness. That's what it means. So we either have to have it or going after it, one or the other. Amen. Without which we will not see the Lord. And 1 John 2 and 9 says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. He who loves his brother remains in the light. Matthew 5:43 says, and 4, love your enemies. Think of that. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. Amen. You see, I'm not saying you have to like everybody. There's some people I'd rather pay their board than live with them. There's some people, there's some things about them you don't like, right? But you still have to love them because God loves them. God loves them. Praise God. Yes, this is where the rubber meets the road. Love is the key. Love is the key. The Holy Spirit has power to help us to love the unlovely. God loves them through us. But we really have to submit everything to God. And it is Christ in us. Paul said, it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me and through me to love other people.